Well, what was supposed to be the final week of the 2018 legislative session is looking more and more like a mere run-up to the lawmaking equivalent of overtime. Money for the session runs out on Saturday, but adjournment looks very uncertain because there are a number of major disputes looming between Republican Governor Phil Scott and Democratic leaders at the State House. So with us now to take a look at what these issues are is VPR's Bob Kinzel. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mitch.
Well, this disagreement on school funding, is this the biggest difference between the Scott administration and lawmakers as we enter this week?
Mitch, it really is, and that's because the school funding issue is connected to the state budget for next year. The state begins the new fiscal year on July 1st. I don't think anybody wants to see a shutdown of Vermont state government at that time. And it's an issue where it's simply not possible for both sides to have a showdown and then walk away because the future of the state budget is at stake. And I really think that changes the dynamics of this debate completely. I don't think there's anybody at the State House who wants to see actions taken in Montpelier that in any way resemble what's happening in Washington, D.C.
But at the core of it, Bob, what is this disagreement over school funding essentially about?
Mitch, I think the basic disagreement is how to deal with the fact that Vermont's school population has declined so much over the past 25 years, but school costs are continuing to rise. Vermont loses about 1,000 students a year over the last 25 years. So ultimately, what's the solution to this problem? You know, when Act 46 passed, it was believed that it would lead to some school consolidations, and there's some evidence that this is happening, but not to the degree that Governor Scott wants. So the governor says, hey, the state already spends $1.6 billion on education. The time has come to cap spending, reallocate this money in a more efficient way. And he says this could be done by increasing the state's student-to-staff ratio. Currently, it's about 4-to-1. He says if it was raised to 5.5-to-1, there would be a saving of over $100 million. Where do the savings come from? 80% of all school expenses are personnel costs. So if you want to save that kind of money, you really have to have a reduction in school staff. That's why the governor says he will not accept any increase at all in the statewide property tax rate this year. Here's the governor.
I will not accept a statewide property tax rate increase because Vermonters can't afford it and does not responsibly address our annual challenge. It's essential we move forward together to prevent this property tax rate increase this year.
So the governor's plan, Mitch, is to use roughly $60 million in one-time money to avoid a property tax increase. And then he wants a special task force to look at several ideas that he says could save the state hundreds of millions of dollars in the next 5 years, like that student-staff ratio.
Well, I imagine that this idea doesn't go down that well with Democratic leaders. What are they saying about it?
House Speaker Mitzi Johnson, who is a former chair of the House Appropriations Committee, says it makes no sense at all to use all this one-time money without having a specific and concrete plan to pay it back.
The biggest flaw with this plan is that it drains all of those reserves. It really destabilizes some of our general fund for short-term gain.
And Senate President Tim Ash says he's very disappointed that the governor proposed this plan, which he says represents a major change in education philosophy, in the final 2 weeks of the session.
We can't fundamentally redesign a $1.6 billion system in a week. That's just not realistic. I don't think anyone would hope we would do that because the unintended consequences will be severe.
Now, the governor, Mitch, will argue that he's talked about the components of this plan for many, many months. But the problem is that lawmakers really didn't like it then. They don't like it now. I can't remember a time when Democratic leaders were this frustrated with the executive branch of government.
The governor has made it clear, as we heard from that tape that you played for us there, that he will not support any increase in the statewide property tax rate for education. But, Bob, do you think there's any kind of will to compromise on this position in order to facilitate a solution with the Democrats? And does the news that there's now an unexpected $44 million surplus in the budget coffers make a compromise any more likely?
Mitch, you would think that the extra surplus money would make it easier to find a compromise to this issue, but I really think the bottom line is this. Is the governor willing to accept a small increase in the statewide property tax rate? Now, if the answer is yes, then a compromise plan will be put together and they can argue about the details of that plan. It would probably take them a couple of days to iron that out. But if he utters that famous phrase, read my lips, no new taxes.
Yeah.
Then we're in for a major battle. And here's something else that really irks Democratic leaders at the State House. You know, the governor has publicly encouraged them to compromise on this issue in order to reach an agreement with him. But when he's been asked, is he willing to compromise on the property tax issue? He says, no way.
But the big question then becomes, Bob, what happens if the governor and lawmakers are not able to reach any kind of compromise on the budget and education spending?
We really have a mess on our hands at that point, I think, Mitch, because the education funding bill is part of the state budget. That means the budget is in limbo. Now, there have been a couple of years where disagreements over the budget didn't get settled until the middle of June, and the governor has suggested that may be the case this year. So what'll be fascinating to watch, Mitch, if there is no short-term solution, is who gets blamed for this? Now, if you're Phil Scott, the message is pretty simple. Vermonters can't afford a property tax increase. There should be other ways to find efficiencies in a $1.6 billion education budget. If you're the Democrats, you argue that local voters did support slightly higher budgets this year in the vicinity of 1.5%, so that the issue of school spending is being dealt with responsibly at the local level, and many towns still strongly support their local schools.
But there's the practical question of what happens next, and Senate President Tim Ash says he doesn't want lawmakers to come back to the State House for a veto session. He wants Governor Scott instead to call a special session. What's the difference, veto session and special session?
It's a little technical, but it's important because it's tactical and political. First, lawmakers in their adjournment motion at the end of the session can stipulate that they need to be called back in the event that the governor vetoes any bills. That's done all the time. And that adjournment motion usually specifies a certain date, let's say June 14th. The veto session is considered to be a continuation of the regular session in terms of bills that have been introduced. Now, a special session can only be called by the governor. This is the route that a number of Democratic leaders want to go. Now, if this happens, Mitch, it is not a continuation of the previous session. All new bills would have to be introduced. None would be hanging over from the previous weeks of the regular session, so this creates some parliamentary problems for any bill that doesn't enjoy strong bipartisan support.
Wow. It sounds like the next week or two really could be a controversial time at the State House if it's not already. VPR's Bob Kinzel, many thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Mitch.